That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast continues with the season about to start here, because let's face it, we need a number 4, a number 5, a number 9, a number 10, and a number 11. Those are the 5 numbers that are still vacant, according to the joys of Chris Wilder, of course, the manager of Middlesbrough Football Club. And I wonder, Rob Nichols, do you know who's going to fill number 11, 10, 9, 5 or 4 for Middlesbrough? Because those are the shirts that are available.
That is half a team, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, clearly there are a range of things actually happening. We're in an interesting situation so far as we have Rob on his mobile phone for this particular one, as opposed to a laptop computer system. We also have Jenny Bill and friend in Sheffield. Yes, I'll say that again, Rob. They're actually in Sheffield. So clearly they're actually doing a little bit of undercover exploration for Borough versus Sheffield United, of course, on Sunday. Rob, I mean, we can't be hugely satisfied with the results so far. Was it just a case of, well, Barnsley winning 1-0, we at least enabled some of the young people to actually get their output for the day? And how else could we actually heard of the likes of Hayden Hackney or indeed young Sonny Finch if they hadn't played against Barnsley?
You had to look that up, didn't you? It did give us a platform to get a lot of young players a debut at the Riverside, but unfortunately, having gone out, we're not going to be able to do that again. And it was a real disappointment to lose the goal in the last few seconds like that when we were heading for a penalty shootout. It's really interesting, wasn't it, Alex, looking at the league club, the amount of championship teams that were defeated that were giant killed was amazing. And I just wonder how many clubs are in exactly the same boat as Middlesbrough in the championship, in that the transfer window still being open, that so many teams have not been completed yet, basically, that there's so many players to come in, so many players to go out. We're not going to really have a good idea of where we stand until the end of the month, which is a lot of matches that have gone. So it is worrying from that point of view. And as you say, Chris Wilder's said he's got half a team to fill, hasn't he? And all those numbers. It's not ideal. That's for certain. And we really could do with getting a win on Sunday.
Well, I mean, you do, of course, have Chuba Akpom, and you have the joys of Matthew Hopp in there, who has already received a vote of confidence from Chris Wilder, who is, I quote, saying is he doesn't expect him to actually step up and come up with a hat-trick in his first game. I would have thought, you know, 2 goals would be sufficient, really, for Matthew Hopp. But what can we say? We welcome, of course, a songstress to the programme, of course, Chloe Rose. Chloe, congratulations. The day has come where the release of your latest single is actually out there, and Golden Sun is now officially available for purchase. And we might indeed need to squeeze it into this particular production. You can tell how exciting it is to actually have Golden Sun there, because even Ian Lennox from the very hard-up club north of Middlesbrough, up the A19, they can't find 2 pennies to scratch together due to financial fair play. Ian Lennox could at least sort of say that, you know, obviously all is well with the world of Newcastle, who, of course, currently actually have 100% record as far as the Premier League are actually concerned. But enough of such stuff. This is the Fly Me to Moon sort of package that we're working through there. And Ian, I'm sure once he's actually finished his lunch, will actually be with us in some way, shape or form. We never know. It's just wonderful to see him. Let's turn to Jenny. And indeed, can you introduce your friend? And are you actually doing research for Middlesbrough Football Club here, or are you in some way, shape, or form secret Blades followers who, when Sunday comes, you'll actually sort of turn around and say, ah, you know, this is what it's all about?
Well, this is my friend Judy. This is my best friend Judy, who's from Sheffield and lives in Sheffield. So, think I know where her loyalty
so
lies.
So, Judy, I mean, first and foremost, are you an owl or a blade?
A blade, definitely. Sorry about that.
Dear me. Well, I suppose it adds a certain balance, Rob, so that's okay. So what are your thoughts on the game? Because, of course, had you had a little bit more good fortune, you might have already been a Premier Club again by now.
Back off here.
I don't quite know what Ian's actually doing at present, but he's having some sort of fun. That's all I can say. Anyway, yes, Judy, back to yourself.
Yes, I think bar that dodgy goal against Villa that wasn't given last season, they will be back in the Premiership, but got to make the best of a bad job. And I think it will be a tight game.
Oh, obviously, our
manager, you have a fantastic manager and he knows us very well. and neither side can be known for their kind of free-flowing goal-scoring. It's a fantastic creative flair. But so I think it'll be tight. I think Blades might snatch it 1-0, but it could equally go 1-0 the other way.
It's very true. I've had to obviously mute Ian at present. Hopefully when he feels comfortable, he can actually hear us. We'll unmute him. But he's having one or two of those challenges with respect to whole things. Many people who actually say this is what Newcastle fans should be done on a regular basis, muted. But that's by the by. He may come in again. And he's gone. He's out of the room. It's the joy of various other bits of pieces. So, Rob, that doesn't sound too good. Judy's predicting a 1-0 win for Sheffield United. I mean, given that we've got Stoke City as well, that can't be good for the next events.
As I say, we desperately need we desperately could do with a win on Sunday. Once again, we'll be under pressure because most of the other teams will have played on Saturday, so that we'll be quite a few points behind from that point of view. And yeah, Stoke's not. It's a difficult game next week, but the whole world and the whole picture will change if we get it. We started so well, Alex, that the first half against Majabi, we played such good football, and if we'd taken our chances, we should have half time. Once you've won a game, it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the whole view. So that's what I'm just pitching for. And of course, it's Chris Wilder's old club, isn't it? Sheffield United, the Blades. And so there'll be a little bit of that about it as well, a little bit of needle from that point of view, that the club that he took into the Premier League. And of course, we know that from the visit to Sheffield United last season, they absolutely hammered us at Bramall Lane. So we could do with avenging that, because they're ripped apart completely.
Well, speaking about being hammered, we have to say well done in the EFL Cup to Grimsby Town, who actually on Tuesday this week actually scored a 4-0 victory over Crewe Alexander. So, Chloe, your magic is working on that sort of things there, with Grimsby Town actually doing the stuff from that perspective. What are your thoughts on this? As somebody who we could say you're an honorary Borough fan, or would you say no, Cleethorpes is closer to Sheffield, so I've got to support Sheffield on this one. Where are you going for this game on Sunday?
Well, I don't want to upset anybody. I mean, I'm always for Town, absolutely always for Grimsby Town, because that's where I'm from, you know, born and bred and all that. And there's fish and chips there, of course. But, you know, Judy seems to know a lot about this. So whatever Judy says, I might go with, actually. And, you know, Rob, I don't know. I don't like to choose and upset anybody. I don't know. Whatever works, I guess.
Right.
I'm glad of course, Sheffield United play in red as well, but there's far more red and white about Borough, I think.
Yeah.
So you're obviously supporting Borough, I reckon.
Yeah. This is interesting. I think I'm going to gamble now that Ian actually can not only just hear us, but he's also not going to sort of utter various profanities, which we would need to obviously mute out of any sort of radio setup, etc. So if he could just actually work out how to unmute himself now, I've asked him to unmute. He may be able to share his wisdom from, as I say, that very hard and poor club. But actually, I mean, Jenny, you do indeed work for, I believe, Newcastle United every so often in terms of hospitality, do you not?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what is the general vibe with Newcastle this season? I mean, are people
it's
happy?
It's very, very positive.
Yeah.
Really, really positive. Yeah. Everybody's really very, you know, the fans, the manager, the owners, everybody's is really feeling very positive.
Just shows what can happen if you have a wonderful owner like Mike Ashley who decides to sell up and provide the platform on which such things can be based on. Ian, welcome back to Fly Me to the Moon. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. I apologise for the language.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there was I thinking this was a former Tyne Tees television producer, an ace writer, and he just hasn't got any sort of, I mean, he's got broadcast utterances. However, you're only the second person I've ever had to mute live on a show before. But there we are. That's by the by. You know, I'm sure we'll be civilised. So are you quite happy with how the two, so to speak, are progressing?
So far, so good. But I think... time will tell. I think they need two or three more in before the season starts. And it's been rather frustrating because since Botman arrived, it's just been like the old days. Things have just, like we've gone down cul-de-sacs all the time. Things have just been, we've been linked with so many players and basically to be linked with a player means he's not going to come as far as I can say because none of them materialised.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could have had Raheem Sterling, I suppose. You could have actually had Nathan Ake. You could have conceivably actually gone for Alexander Zinchenko. You could probably even actually have put in a bid for Gabriel Jesus. But, you know, obviously they decided to go elsewhere. Still, never mind.
Well, no, the problem they've got is that under the financial fair play rules, they can only spend a limited amount of money at the moment until their revenue goes up.
You see, Rob, what I mean now about poor Newcastle United, how poor they actually are and how woe it is, really, to actually cope with that and how stressful it must be in terms of working within those rules. I mean, Rob, surely you've got to, when you do the Ali Brownlee run in September, you've got to actually say, I'm raising money for Newcastle United.
That would be ironic, wouldn't it? That would be very ironic. Yeah. Well, obviously, Borough have faced real problems getting players in because we've had to wait all summer for the Jed Spence money to come through because Jed Spence decided he wanted to join Spurs, and Spurs famously draw out these transfer.
It's the Daniel Levy strategy, Rob. It's what Daniel Levy does, you know?
Yeah, so we took a long time to get that money in, and then obviously Marcus Tavernier left the club just 3 days or 3 or 4 days before the start of the season, which was not ideal as well. So, yeah, my heart bleeds for Newcastle, and I'll be I better do a sponsored run for them. Yeah,
yeah. I'm just saying,
sponsored run. That won't get very much.
Ian, you have no idea about Rob's Middle Eastern backers. You know, they could raise a whole range of things from that point of view.
I prefer them to go on a sponsored walk because you might complete that.
I'll have you know, Ian, Rob is a regular
walker.
I mean, you do the park run on a weekly basis, don't you, Rob?
I do, yeah.
Oh, I do, Rob. Okay, well, yeah. All right.
So there we are. Once again, Ian Lennox has had to be sort of, you know, put to one side and actually said, Ian, get the facts right, honestly, you know. Let's go back to Judy again. Let's find out again, Sheffield United, find out a little bit more information about them. Clearly, used to be, as we said, Chris Wilder's old sort of team from that perspective. Why do you think this season is going to be more successful for you than last season?
I think they've got Heckenbottom from the start of the season, whereas last season he only came in just before Christmas and things were in a bit of a mess. So it's a bit more settled this season. They know what they expected of him. I think they've made some good buys in the summer, and they've managed to keep hold of Sander Berger, who is a linchpin in midfield. He kind of tends to run the midfield. He's a nice, big, strong guy as well, so you need to watch out for him on Sunday. And actually, the young guys are coming through up front to score some goals. Iliman Ndjai is a real talent. I must mention Dan Jebison, who used to live across the road from me. So get one of him. And he looks keen and ready to score goals. So I think it's looking a little bit better than last season on the goal scoring front, which was where we were falling down. I think too many draws and missed opportunities. So hopefully they can get in that top two of the season. But of course, it's a long season, isn't it? And they do say it's the most difficult league to get out of. So,
I mean, Rob, go on, Ian, say what you're going to say and then I'll come in.
I was reading that Middlesbrough have signed, is it 6 players already? And they're looking for another 5, including a Danish international, Danish player for, they bid 11 million euros for him and were turned down.
Somebody we've pulled out of that deal.
Hmm?
We've pulled out of that deal at this point anyway.
Yes. But I think it gives a sign of the ambition if you're going to start spending that sort of money for a striker. But if you're getting, you're going to get 7 or 8 players in a close season, I just wonder how long it's going to take them to learn to play with each other. Though. That's one of the things I'll be worried about. I mean, Nottingham Forest, 12 players, I think.
That is a problem. That's been a problem with the players that we've got in so far. That if Marcus Force from Brentford, we still haven't got him up to speed into our system. That is why, in an ideal world, the transfer window would shut at the start of the season, really. And we need to. I think that's right. Sheffield United have got a head start on us, without a doubt, with having built that team. And it's a good contrast, really, because both clubs with a manager starting from the start of the season for the first time. And it is where we ideally would like to be as well. Because I think the clubs that came down might not have the advantage that we normally see from there's a question mark against each of those three clubs as clubs as to whether they've got the finances and the teams that went into the playoffs, the gap between the end of the playoffs and the start of the season was so small that you wonder they were suffering the after effects of their disappointments, really.
The good news is, Rob, at least you get a break for the World Cup, thanks to the logical decision of actually citing the World Cup in Qatar. And it's nice to know that they've actually started a day earlier now, so the host nation can actually have the traditional first kickoff. So it helps our predictor challenge, obviously, from that point of view. I thought they might have actually worked out the fixture list beforehand, but maybe they just realised that wasn't the case.
Yeah. It's absolutely bizarre. They've only had about 10 years to plan it, something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a case of just in time policy from that point of view. Chloe, you've been listening to obviously Judy and Ian and Rob and Jenny from that point of view. I mean, as a Grimsby supporter who clearly doesn't get the World Cup break because you're clearly going to be playing throughout that side of things there. What do you think Middlesbrough's chances are this season? Or what advice would you give, let's say, Sunday? Because, I mean, from Judy's description there, it seems as though there are a number of players that Middlesbrough have to be wary of come Sunday.
I just say to the players on Sunday, just go for it. Don't doubt yourself. Don't think, oh, I'm not going to do a good job. Believe in yourself, because I sometimes think, I don't know if I'm wrong with this, but when I'm referring to England, because I like to watch, you know, like the World Cups and, you know, stuff like that, I think when they got really close, last time, the nerves got the better of them.
They bottled it, Chloe. They bottled it.
Yeah, they bottled it. Don't bottle it. Believe in yourself. Step out and go for it on Sunday. That's what I say. Get yourself some nice food. Get your energy up and go and bring it on. Come on.
You see, this is like watching a better version of Mikel Arteta's All or Nothing Amazon Prime routine. You know, Chloe doesn't actually get speakers out playing "You'll Never Walk Alone" to the team, etc. She has sort of key sort of systems there. I know, Chloe, you have a Liverpool sort of bias, but let's not go into that side of things.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, not today,
Exactly. Changing the topic slightly, Beth Mead was mentioned there, of course, Chloe, with respect to the tremendous success of the Lionesses. Ian, did you follow the Women's World Cup? Have you now become a committed Lionesses fan?
I did, yeah. About 10, long time ago now, I started to do a feature on women's football for Tyne Tees Television. And I was startled by his standards, even then. And I remember watching Sunderland play Aston Villa And they were managed by, I can't remember his name, Mortimer, I think his name was. He was one of the people who won the Champions League medals for Aston Villa in the 70s.
Dennis Mortimer.
That's it, yes. And he was telling me how impressed he'd been when he would start to coach the girls. And the fitness levels are pretty good, and the courage level is phenomenal. I think they're a load of Amazons.
I mean, that's not to be confused, of course, with the Jeff Bezos company, which is a different thing entirely. But you know, easily sort of confused.
They're rather belligerent ladies who came from South America. I mean, I don't think England were the best team in the competition. I suspect technically Spain or France were. The Germans were certainly the most ruthless, but we won through, and we've come on fantastically well. I remember when about 15 years ago I was out in Canada, and there was the under 23 Women's World Cup was out there, and they came to Edmonton, and I saw Brazil play, and there was a girl called Marta, I think her name was. She was 16 or 17 at the time. And she just stood out, she was brilliant. And about 10 years later, I saw her playing for the Brazil. She was reckoned to be the best women's player in the world by that time. She was absolutely outstanding.
The other connection, of course, is that just as Beth Mead has got a scholarship at Teesside University for some lucky students to actually benefit from the scholarship, I see, Rob, that George Friend has also adopted a similar line. And even though he's playing for Birmingham City, he's shown his fondness for Middlesbrough by setting up the George Friend scholarship.
It's a fantastic, fantastic legacy, isn't it? It's brilliant that we've still got this link with George Friend, who, of course, comes from Devon, but he got on so well, so famously well in Middlesbrough, and became the captain, but also was Community Player of the Year several times because he went out into the community and met people. And this just shows that, doesn't he? He's got that legacy. And as you said, Beth Mead, also with a scholarship for young students to come through and develop as footballers and have that financial backing. It's brilliant. It's really great to see.
Again, let's go back to the Sheffield United corner and say, can you match that in any way, shape or form? What's your form? There's a Tony Curry stand. You might actually go back to possibly the joys of some of the other Sheffield United players. But what are Sheffield United doing for the local community?
What are we doing for the community?
Yeah.
We do masses for the community. They have a very good programme. There's also a good women's team there as well that do play their games at Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, which a lot of women's teams don't get to play at the proper ground. So I think they're making a statement there. But yeah, they do a lot for the community, you know, a lot for the LGBT blades and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay, so, I was basically just clutching at straws there, basically, to actually sort of say, well, you know, you might beat us on Sunday, but at the end of the day, obviously, when it comes to community spirit, there's obviously a lot more from that point of view. It's okay. The point has been made. Rob, anything you'd like to quiz Judy on about Sheffield that you feel you need to? I mean, have you had the press conferences yet? Have you actually been there? Do you feel as though Chris Wilder is looking forward to this? Is it a case of mixed feelings? Or is it just a case of, well, you know, after that, we'll use this as a platform to actually launch the season and go on a 15-match winning streak.
The press conference is actually Saturday morning for the Sheffield United game, and it's very interesting to see how he approaches that, because he was very upset. He was very upset at the defeat on Wednesday, it's very interesting to hear his comments after a defeat. He can often speak quite emotionally, as you would expect, and that's when it's after that defeat that he's mentioned all these players and all the numbers that he's not hoping, but he said they are going to fail. So it'll be interesting to see whether he takes the approach of saying it's just another game, or whether he admits Sheffield United means the world to him and he did, but I think he cannot ignore that fact. But he also cannot ignore the fact that he really could do with, and we could do with, a win against Sheffield United. And it would be a big, big statement because, as said, that they are going to be amongst the favourites, if not to go up. And Middlesbrough were the favourites a couple of weeks ago. So
well, we're in 20th position, Rob. So, I mean, we're in 20th position in the league. So, you know, on that basis, there's 1 point that they managed to secure against West Bromwich Albion. So, you know, it's a steady platform to actually work on. And as we said, Nottingham Forest surely showed the example last season, although they did obviously change their manager to show how a very poor start can actually lead to a fantastic playoff finish.
There's only two games gone. Absolutely, two games. There's an awful lot of games to go, and we should not get carried away in any shape or fashion. It's not been an ideal start. It's been a bad start, but it's no disaster as yet. We can repair all the damage very quickly indeed, and let's hope we start doing that on Sunday.
Are they still playing to the same format, Rob? They play basically very wide, don't they? They attack the wings all the time.
Yeah. We brought in we balanced the team by bringing in a left wing back. So we've got a left wing back as well as a right wing back, and so we've got crosses from both sides. So that's why we're trying to spend so big as forward line, because we've got there's plenty of supply going into the books. If we could get the forward line, then you would think that there's with all that supply, we should start taking chances. We've been lacking a goal scoring centre forward for quite a few years now. So it's been a
Brita Sambalonga never really did he? Let's be honest. Brita Sambalonga. I mean, he did it occasionally, but you know what? But at the end of the day, he had to be sort of pegged off. Judy, what's your view on Chris Wilder? Are you sad that he's with Middlesbrough? Is it a case of he's gone now? And I feel much as Liverpool supporters feel about, Rafa Benitez.
I would have kept him at the Blades. I love him dearly and we miss him. And I hope you're looking after him for us, because I'm sure he'll be back with us one of these days. I think you've got a top, top manager there. So I hope you're appreciating him properly. He's a very smart guy, tactically very astute, and I'm sure, you know, just give him a chance and he'll sort you out.
And you can relay that tomorrow at the press conference, Rob. So Judy says that she hopes we're looking after you, Chris. Do you think that's the case? Drop that in. I think that would work well.
Yeah, it would. What
sort of crowd are you expecting tomorrow?
Or Sunday?
Sunday.
We got
26,000-27,000 for the first home game, and I think it'll drop off a little bit, but it'll still be 24,000-25,000. So it's not bad at all. We've sold a lot of tickets. There's an awful lot of. I guess why people are disappointed is because there's an awful lot of expectation this season. But just saying it, we've only played two games, so we draw.
Well, three
one,
if you include the cup game, of course, Rob.
Yeah. Only played two league games. My
fear would be that you've got so many new people coming in. You're not going to be at your best for 2 or 3 months, maybe, or maybe less than that, but certainly way a month. So 6 weeks, and then there's going to be problems. I would thought.
We know, Ian is always a bit of a glass half empty sort of person. He is a Newcastle United fan.
I'd like to add as well, can I just go back to women's football? Newcastle United have a women's team in the fourth division, and they played Alnwick Town about four or five months ago at St James's Park, and they attracted 23,000 spectators.
Shows the amount of support that Alnwick can actually bring to your ground, basically. It's great, you know, on that basis.
You may think that. That's probably why you should. It was about Manchester City.
Exactly. You know, it's fretful times. But still, let's go to the predictions for both the games. Chloe, let's come to you first. What's your prediction for the Sunday game, Middlesbrough against Sheffield United? What are you going to go for?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know on this. I could be completely wrong. Let's just go...
I'm going to say what Judy said.
I'll just say what Judy said, yeah.
Yeah, well, this is why I deliberately came to you first, Chloe, to see whether you'd actually changed your sort of thoughts on that one. So
I love that Jenny said exactly what I was thinking. I could hear her in the background.
All right, okay, all right. Brilliant. Because we're going to listen to your single in a few moments, Judy, would you like to tell us what you and Chloe are going to predict for Middlesbrough Sheffield United?
Well, unless Chloe's doing the team talk for Middlesbrough, I'm going to stick with my 1-0 to the Blades.
Right, let's do that then.
Okay, well, let's do that then, she says. Unbelievable. Jenny, are you going to agree or disagree with that?
I'm going to disagree because I'm going to go 3-1 to Sheffield United.
Oh, this is sounding wonderful. I mean, you know, Rob, do you ever get the feeling as though it's the Blades in the back here from that point of view? But still, never mind. Ian Lennox, what's your thought on this one?
I think possibly a draw, one each.
I think it'll be 2-1 to Middlesbrough. Rob, what's your thought?
Well, you're taking the words out of my mouth there, Alex. I was going to say 2-1. And I thought Jenny was going to be working at the Riverside on Sunday.
I might be.
What, wearing your Sheffield United T-shirt as well, Jenny?
Yeah, exactly.
what name are you using, Jenny?
I've been doing such a fantastic team talk and then predicting a loss.
Yeah, It could be reverse psychology, Rob. That's all I can say. Okay, let's go for the other prediction we need to look at very briefly. Stoke City against Middlesbrough, from the Blades to the Potters. Ian, what's your thought on this one? It's the midweek game, so it comes up fairly rapidly on Wednesday. Stoke City, Middlesbrough.
I think Middlesbrough might win 1-0.
Chloe, Stoke City versus Middlesbrough. Random score.
Oh, 2-1.
2-1.
I don't know.
It's somewhere between two. No, I think it'd be one all from that perspective. And Judy, I mean, I don't know if you've got any skin in the Stoke City game at all, but what are your thoughts on that one?
I'm not really keen on Stoke, so I'm going to predict that Borough will win 2-0.
Jenny, are you also going for a similar score from that perspective?
I think it's going to be a draw. Going to go for 0-0 draw.
Right. And finally, Rob, as you prepare to head off to the Potteries.
Yeah, well, having won again Sheffield United on Sunday, we'll back it up by winning in Stoke as well, 1-0.
There you go. And then it's away to Reading before we, of course, have another home game, which is home to Swansea City. Rob, how can people actually subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon?
Yes, please do subscribe. We've still got plenty of months left and plenty of results for Borough to win. You can subscribe by going to the website, which is fmttmborough.com. FMTTM standing for Fly Me to the Moon. If you go to the website and click on subscribe, then the details will be there. Please do support
Absolutely.
Us through the season.
Exactly. And Chloe, how can people get hold of the single we're about to listen to in a few seconds' time, because it is now released, Golden Sun? What's the best platform that you recommend people should go to?
Spotify, Amazon, go for it. Just see what you think. But yeah, it's Chloe Rose with a Y, and then you'll find it on there.
And we're going to hear it, as I say, in a few seconds from now. Let's hope all goes well with Brighton and Hove Albion and they continue their fantastic season form. Another similar result to what they did with the other United at the start of the season will suit us down to the ground, won't it, Ian, basically on that sort of basis. So 2-1 to Brighton will be great. And then I believe you got a little matter of actually a visit to the Etihad to see how a team that suddenly actually has finances needs to actually work its way within the whole system. And in terms of women's football, actually it's got a very successful team. So there we go. Ian Lennox, Judy and Jenny, from whereabouts, Jenny, are you in Sheffield at present?
We're in Cafe Nero.
Oh, brand. Other cafes are available, but at least sort of on that basis. And Chloe, of course.
In a famous coffee shop.
Yeah, precisely. It's too late now. It's already gone out. It's as bad as sort of Ian shouldn't be uttering oaths when he has frustrations because he can't get his link on. He doesn't realise his microphone's live until we actually mute him. But anyway, Chloe, we will speak to you again very soon, of course. And Rob, would you like to lead the team in that final rendition before we go on to listen to Chloe Rose's Golden Sun? Over to you, Rob.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing Golden Sun. And before that, can we all join together, and say, come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Come on, Borough. And come Arthur Burra.
Yeah, I
didn't think Judy was going to say anything there at all, really, and she didn't disappoint. So that's all good from that perspective. Quick, let's play Chloe Rose.
Reaching for